So the lungs are hurting at the moment. This is going to be an absolute nail-biter. There's less than 200 metres to row. Australia just in front. Netherlands less than a canvas away are wearing down. They're eating into that margin. Now there's 100 metres to row. It's Australia just in front. Netherlands coming out after them. And then two boat lengths away to Ireland third. The Australians giving it everything. Just in front. Netherlands not getting there yet. Still Australia marginally in front. It's Netherlands trying ever so hard, but the Australians are holding on and win gold. Oh, what a performance. Australia gold, Netherlands second.
The women's fours with the Australian gold medal. It set off quite the hour at the Olympics. Rosie Popper is a member of the crew. She is an Olympic gold medalist. Rosie, congratulations and welcome to SEN.
Thank you. That's great to hear. I thought, yes. I haven't heard that yet.
Does it put you back in the moments of those frantic final 250 metres?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, what an amazing race. And it comes down to, you know, it shows you anything can happen at the Olympics. So I think, you know, as a crew, we just held our heads and trusted Lucy, who was making the call, and trusted Jess and Annabelle, who were setting the rhythm. So, you know, I think it's quite an amazing just to do that with the girls and come away with the best possible result. It's such a cool feeling.
What did you feel as you went across the line, Rosie, and knew you were a gold medalist?
I think initially I was pretty certain that we'd won. I just wasn't too sure because we could feel the Dutch coming at us. So I think it was, you know, just waiting until you could see Australia number one on the presentation, and then have a bit of rush of relief comes over and joy. I think it's going to take a few days to settle in, and I think it's, you know, everything that we've worked so hard for together has paid off, and it's such an amazing feeling. It's something that you can't really describe, all the hard work that's gone into it.
So many years of that and born into a rowing family. So sometimes these are the best Australian sporting stories. You were born for this moment, Rosie.
That's what my coach said just before we got on the water. He said, you're bred for this. So I think not, you don't rely on the genetics, but I definitely think, you know, the support that they've given me and just, you know, focusing on what's between the ears has been so beneficial. And I think, you know, something that an experience that your parents had that you can share with them too, it's quite amazing. So I was able to FaceTime them a few minutes ago, and they're on the Vinos enjoying it. So I think, you know, I think it just shows how many people are invested on this journey, and the payoff is so sweet.
So they were bronze medalists in Los Angeles. So the first things first, Rosie, you've got bragging rights around the Christmas dinner table.
No. I think any medal at the Olympic Games or even to get here is amazing. So I think, you know, this is testament to them as well, for sure.
What are your earliest memories of rowing, Rosie? Were you doing it from when you were young?
I actually entered an ergo, the rowing machine competition, when I was seven. Was for the first time. I was wearing a swimming costume and, you know, being seven and awkward and tall. But I think I didn't start rowing until I was 14 and joined Banks Rowing Club in Melbourne, and then joined my high school rowing at Caulfield Grammar School. And then from there went to uni in the States at the University of California, Berkeley, and did a, I actually, did a bit of US rowing as well, because I'm a dual citizen, and then came back and been part of the Australian team since 2018. So it's been quite a unique journey, you know, being in so many different environments. And I think every single person that I've rowed with over the last, 15 years, this is all, you know, this is all just part of it, a building block to get to the best result. So it's, you know, it's pretty surreal, and it's, you know, getting lots of messages of support and congratulations. So it's so appreciated that, you know, so many people care.
So Rosie, is there a moment in your life or in your career where you had to make a choice which nation you were going to represent? How did that work?
I think when I graduated from uni in 2014, it was a pretty clear path to come back to Australia and represent my nation. It was, I never really considered rowing for the US. I think it was, at the time, the best option to try to make the US team. And then once I graduated, just having the family support and network and your friends and everyone around you, I think it's just, you know, you want to do it for them. And I think, it was pretty easy in the end to kind of have a go at the Australian team.
this has been, that there's never been a lead up to a Games quite like it, Rosie, obviously, with the 12-month delay. How did that play for you? As through the, you know, qualifying for the boat and then a team coming together and the year delay. How did that unfold?
Yeah, I think it's kind of crazy to look back on it. I think the main thing that we've learned as a team and as a squad is how resilient everyone is. And, you know, for months we were training in our home. I was up in my parents' backyard. I put up a Bunnings marquee and just, you know, was training by myself and got a few people to help along the way. And then me and Jess Morrison were, you know, training in her gym in Melbourne as well. So I think that was, you know, maybe training together in the backyard. You know, when no one's watching, it's probably built a big trust for us and able to kind of come together and support Jess and Annabelle and their pair, and also Lucy's a little puppy too. So I think it's just built so much mutual respect for each other, and, you know, every single crew that's come down today, everyone's so invested. And I think it's just brought us all close together, and we've only been racing each other because we've obviously haven't raced internationally for 2 years. So I think it just shows how strong the squad is. And you saw, you know, in 40 minutes, we got 4 medals. So it's a pretty amazing squad to be part of. And I think, you know, the next few days are going to get some really good results for the Aussies as well. So I think, yeah, just it's shown how tough we all are. And obviously so much adversity we've had to overcome. But, you know, these are some of the most resilient people I've ever met.
When you got to the Sea Forest Waterway this morning, Rosie, what was your sense? Did you have anxiety, excitement, a sense of destiny? What was your overwhelming sense heading there?
Yeah, I think, you know, you're obviously feeling pretty excited, and when the alarm went off at 4:45, you're bolt awake, and we did our COVID protocols. And I think, you know, what we talked about in our crew meeting last night was, you know, just focus on the process. So we do a pre-row in the morning and just focus on that, and then do your ergo warm-up and focus on that, and, you know, everything that you need to do, just try to stick to the plan. I think that we did that really well. And, you know, it's a pretty amazing crew. So I think just to know that everyone, you know, no one was behaving different and channeling that excitement and, you know, not thinking that it's nerves, but, you know, knowing that this is our time and really embracing it. I think it kind of felt like a business as usual, and obviously a few more sparks of excitement. But for the most part, when you're in the line, you just kind of focus in and just take it one stroke at a time. So our coach, John Keir, was saying, you know, don't think about the finish line. Don't think about coming through the middle K. Just focus on that first stroke and get out clean, because it's pretty tricky water today. So, yeah, I think at this level, it's just taking it one stroke at a time and knowing that there's a lot of pressure on you, and it's only, you know, you and the you know, what's between your ears to keep you mentally strong and focus on that. I think that's what separates the good from the great.
And we saw that absolutely vividly demonstrated. Who said the first words in the boat when you knew that you'd won the gold medal? Is there something that
I think it was Lucy, because she's the one that makes the calls, and she was able to have a look out. The rest of us have to keep our head forward. So she claimed it, and I think the rest of us didn't really know what was happening, and I think it just kind of filtered through the boat. So I think initially, if you look at the video, it looks like we're in a bit of shock. And then, you know, as it kind of starts to click that we did it, it was a very, very good feeling, and something that, you know, I don't think many people get to experience. So, yeah, definitely Lucy making the claim with the hands in the air.
Brilliant, brilliant. And then when you stand on the podium and receive your gold medals and see the flag and the national anthem, was that, I imagine in an athlete's life, you'd let your mind wander to what that might be like. What was the reality like?
To be honest, I think it was kind of everything that you expect it to be. You know, it's pretty overwhelming, and I think it's just kind of process, you know, take it all in now. And Jimmy Tompkins was presented our medals, and he actually rode with my dad. So that was, you know, the very cool, unique thing that, you know, not many people can experience. I think I couldn't stop crying. And, you know, I think it's just an overwhelming of every single emotion that to get you where you are. So, yeah, definitely it's I know that will be a low, but you just ride the high at this point and know that it is, you know, might not feel like this ever again.
And how brilliant that, so the awesome foursome women and then the awesome foursome men 25 years on. So how about that within sort of 20 minutes?
I know. It's truly amazing. You know, we all know how hard we've all worked, and I think it was just so special to give them all a big hug and know exactly what we're feeling and to share that with someone else is so, so special. I don't think any of us will forget that.
Any idea what celebrations might look like given the confines of the time?
Oh. Well, Annabelle and Jess have their final tomorrow, so I think we're sharing a pod with them in the village, so I think it'll be pretty quiet. I'm not actually sure with restrictions and stuff, but I think it's just kind of take it as it comes and enjoy every single moment if we have to go to bed at 9 o'clock or, you know, not go to bed at all. I think it's just, you know, take it as it comes and just enjoy every single second because this is something that no one can take away from us now.
And you're part of a historic hour, Rosie. Australia's never won 3 gold medals in a single hour. In fact, the record was 3 gold medals in a day, and you did it, the men did it, and then Ariane Titmus. So it's a most special day.
Oh,
you've
wow,
got a rich place in it. Yeah, good. Well done to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing it with us. Rosie Popper there, a member of the Women's Fours gold medalist. Our interviews for Victoria Police. Victoria Police is recruiting now. Search police careers or visit police.vic.gov.au/careers.